If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 2, we're going to continue to look at Christmas message in a series that I started last week entitled Holding On to Christmas. And if you remember, the whole thrust of the first part of that last week was being too busy. And I kidded about that this morning, and I said, how many are busy? And boy, some of you threw up both hands and looked at me, and some of you were pulling your hair out. And, you know, I understand that. This is definitely a busy time, and this is a time that you're trying to get all your ducks in a row for everything that's going on and over the Christmas holiday. But here's my thought. Please don't get so busy that you miss Christmas. Please don't get so busy that you miss really what Christmas is all about. And if you remember last week, we centered in and we also looked at the innkeeper. And we looked at that, you know, the innkeeper had no room for Jesus, and how we can, if we're not careful, we really just move Jesus right out of our lives. And this morning I want to look at the shepherds. And on Christmas Eve I want to look at the wise men. And on Christmas Day I really want to look at Jesus being that precious gift that God brings to us at this time. So if you would, Luke chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 8, read over to verse 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shined around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which we were just as if they had been told. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We've all heard the Christmas story. We all understand by manger scenes and nativity scenes. But Father, may we just take the message of Christ deep into our hearts this morning. May we get a new look at the Christ child. May we get a new look at that nativity scene. May we get a new look at how we approach Christmas. Lord God, that you would get honor and glory. May the name of Jesus Christ be exalted and lifted up here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just tell you about those shepherds. I want you to know something. They were probably the last, and I can't say this enough, they were probably the last people on earth that God should have used to tell and show the plan of God. The creator of the universe, in all of his resources, in all of the people that he has, could have picked so many other people. They were the religious outcast. Any good Jew wouldn't want to have anything to do with the shepherds because they were unclean. They were barred from the temple. They were the outcast. They were unclean and unkept. Somebody had to watch the sheep, and I believe they drew the short straw. They weren't respected. They didn't smell good. They weren't educated. All of the things that people really kind of take a look at. One commentary goes as far to say that they would be compared to a modern day truck driver. And I take no offense to a truck driver. But the reason this commentary said is because of their long hours and because they were so far away from home and because they weren't able to be in church because of their job. They were considered like modern day truck drivers. Because they didn't get to really know anybody. Because they were constantly traveling, finding new pastures, trying to keep an eye on the sheep. So they'd come into an area and right away everyone would be suspicious of them. If something was missing, then surely it had to be the shepherds that taken it. Probably in the same deal in, you know, us that come from a small town area that we lived in for a while, you would think of the carnival people coming in or the gypsies coming in. You know, if you have that come into town, well, you suddenly bring all your knickknacks out of the yard and you batten down some of the things because you think they could come up missing. Well, that's the way they looked at these shepherds. So in a nutshell, their job was to watch the sheep. That was their sole responsibility. You know, don't let anything happen to the sheep. Whether they were watching it for someone else or they were watching it for themselves, their whole job was to keep an eye on these sheep. Don't let anything happen to that. But you know what? That's probably a pretty hard job because this city boy is not a farmer, trust me. What I know about farming, you could put on a thimble. But the sheep weren't the sharpest tool in the shed. And if they weren't watched constantly, one would stray off and all the others would follow, and they'd literally fall off a cliff. Because they would follow the one in front of them and into these dangerous things. So someone had to watch them. So think about this. If you were God. Now don't think about it too long. Because one, you could go where you shouldn't go, because you might like it. And the other thing, you would realize that I can't think that I'm God, because I realize. But think about the thought that if you were God, would you really want to use those kind of people? You get it? Those kind of people to announce the most terrific news that is ever imaginable? That you would use a group of social outcasts. See, I love this. God has a plan. You're in it. I'm in it. God has a plan and He desires to use us. And here were these shepherds watching their flock, doing their thing, going through their everyday routine. And God shows up and begins to change their lives. God begins to show up and just begins to do these terrific things. But what does the scripture tell us? They were terrified. They were terrified. And the angel of the Lord comes to them and says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And then he says, "Today." And I picture him saying today and meaning right now. Right now in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And you will find him wrapped in cloth and in a manger in Bethlehem. Now I'm sure that God has many reasons why he used the shepherds. And I can think of one here because I stop and I think, who better could relate to all the counted out people? All of the ones that probably feel like I've gotten my second chance and there ain't no more. It ain't good English, but I'm amongst friends. I've gotten all the chances that I'm going to get. And who better to look at these overlooked people and who could really relate than the shepherds? Isaiah tells us that the prophet told that the people of Israel, that a shepherd's going to come to shepherd God's people. Jesus himself tells and calls himself the good shepherd. And he goes on to say one that's going to lay down his life for those that are in his flock. Those that he promises that he's not going to run when the wolf comes to try to destroy us. Well, that's the part the shepherds can relate to that. They could really relate to that. Wow. When danger comes to the sheep, Jesus isn't going to run away. And that's the responsibility of the shepherd. Make sure nothing happens to them. God's no stranger to shepherds. If you stop and look at the scriptures too, King David was a shepherd boy before he was anointed king of Israel. And Moses, and both of these people ended up being great men of God. But you can see that they got some baggage, don't they? They all have some baggage. God decides He's going to use them. Moses, shepherding and helping his father-in-law Jethro. When God speaks to him in a burning bush, those kind of things excite me, because it just lets me know that, hey, God sees where we're at, and He desires to minister to us, and God is so unique, He can come to us in any way He chooses, and at any point. So you know that to me is encouraging. You know, I think that Christmas is going to mean different things to different people. Isn't that true? You know, you stop and you think about it, and I thought of this. What does Christmas mean to a young mother that just lost her husband? What does Christmas mean to a missionary that is in a foreign land, and his and her whole family is far away? And then if you look at it a little bit on the negative side, what does Christmas mean to a child that has been given everything and they throw a fit because they didn't get what they thought they should, or there wasn't as many presents under the tree as they thought, and they begin to be upset about what they're receiving? And really, the truth be told is that they were really looking for stuff that they really didn't need. See, Christmas is going to mean something different to each and every one of us. That's the uniqueness of Christ coming to minister to us. And that's the uniqueness of the shepherd, making sure that each sheep in the flock get spoken to in a way that they need. God came to these shepherds, and He desires to come to each one of us. And I've heard some stories. I've heard some things that are going on in people's lives. As amazing as some things are, I realize you might not be right there where that amazing is right now, but God desires to come and speak to you. God desires to come and minister to you. See, the great thing about it is no matter where you are on this social ladder, if you will, no matter where you are, God has a message for you. See, if you're sitting here this morning and you feel forgotten, God has a message for you. You're sitting here this morning and you may be overwhelmed. You might be in that busy. We're past kidding about busy. You're like in that overwhelmed state. You're in that panic mode. God has a message for you. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you feel just left out. I remember going through a hard time and being in a busy place and feeling like I was in this bubble. I felt so secluded, yet there was people all around me. And if you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So you maybe feel left out this morning. I want you to know that God has a message for you. And maybe some of you are sitting here this morning and you say, I can't say that. I don't feel overwhelmed. I don't feel like I'm abandoned. I just sit here and I just think God has truly blessed me. Well, God has a message for you too. And it gives us an opportunity to give back what God is wanting to say to us. God's desiring to bless us. God's desiring to be involved in our circumstances. God is desiring to transform us into the person that He wants us to be. God has a message for each one of us. Ever feel like these folks, I give this illustration, the folks that they decided they were going to throw this party for this very important guest. And they go through all of the motions. They send out the invitations. They decorate this hall. They get the caterer. They get all the things that are needed. And all the people come together at the designated time. And they look around and the guest of honor isn't there. And after a time, they make this embarrassed discovery that in the midst of trying all this party, nobody invited the special guest. And sometimes I think that really is Christmas in a lot of sense. We go through all this emotion. We go all through these things. And sometimes we go through all this prep work, and then we make this discovery that, wow, Jesus, where are you in all of this? You know, what's spiritually under the tree for you this year? See, you can't do Christmas without Jesus. I don't care how you word it, how you want to make that, apply. You can't do Christmas without Jesus. Oh, you can X amount of Christmas, but there's a reason that Christ is in the word Christmas. And there's a reason that you can go just through the motions of Christmas without and missing it, because you can miss it, you can miss the meaning of it, and you can go through all the motions. But Christ taken out of Christmas is nothing more than just a gathering where you're going to exchange gifts. And you can do that any day of the year, and you wouldn't need Christ involved in there. Here's one point I want to just draw you out. If you don't remember anything else this morning, remember this. You matter to God. You hear me? I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're going through this morning. Trust me. God says you matter. God knows you, and He loves you. Here's what I want you to do this morning. Say out loud, I matter to God. Ready? I matter to God. One more time. I matter to God. Because He loves you. And this is a time of the year that we can just take a moment to understand just how much God really does care about you. So no matter how insignificant you may feel this morning, realize that God loves you. And don't let the devil beat you up. The shepherds weren't respected, but God used them to bring a message that could change people's lives. On to you, and in parentheses I say, and me, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. On to us, a Savior is born. And I say a big amen. A few years ago, maybe some of you would know, maybe some of you don't. Years ago, first of all, you'd have to remember who Bubba Smith is. Bubba Smith played professional football for the Baltimore Colts in the 70s. He was a professional football player. He just recently passed away within this year. Maybe you remember him better as the football player that would tear the can off the top of a beer can, and they would go in this argument of taste great, less filling. That was a tremendous commercial that was on for a long time, and Bubba Smith was part of that. And years later, Bubba Smith, at talking at Michigan State, where he was his alma mater, he said, I've never drank a beer in my life. He said, I did it just for the money. And he said that as he came back to the alma mater, instead of remembering his life, remembering his playing days with the Colts, he walked onto the campus of Michigan State, and all the kids would say is, taste great, less filling, everywhere he went. And when it was time to renew the contract, he couldn't do it. He said that he just couldn't do it because he didn't want to be remembered by some crazy saying of taste great, less filling, in the fact that he's never drank a beer in his life. And if you remember also, I told you a while back about a man named Noble, and he invented dynamite, and he died. He woke up one day, and his obituary was in the paper, and he hadn't died. And there they went on to tell him about how great he was that he invented dynamite and how important it was in the war that helped kill the enemy. And he realized, he said, if I would die today, I don't want to be remembered for inventing dynamite. So he went and he decided that he was going to take a positive twist. And he decided to take a look at people and how they made a positive impact in the world, and came up with the Nobel Peace Prize. And, you know, so here I say all of this morning to say this. It's never too late. As long as you got a breath, as long as God is doing something in your life, you're able to make these positive changes. That baby Jesus can change your world. That baby Jesus can change what's happening. And that same Jesus can change you in an instant. That same Jesus can change you in a process. And, you know, I love this. On to you. Make it personal this morning. On to you. A baby is born in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. Let me just bring this home this morning. They were terrified. Truth be told, you'd be terrified too, wouldn't you? God shows up in such a miraculous way, you'd be terrified too. And the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. A Savior has been born to us." My question to you this morning is, what are you going to do with that good news? I'm talking to Christians, and I'm maybe talking to you that you're in your journey and you're just debating right now what you're going to do with this Jesus. You've got to answer that question. What are you going to do with the good news this morning? We sang a song. I love the chorus. I jotted it down just a little while ago. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? Is that the Jesus you know? Is that the Jesus this morning that you want to know? 1 Corinthians 1:20 tells us this. Where is the wise man? I love this. In people's wisdom to try to figure out God. Try to figure out ways that they can box God in. I love this verse. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believed. Then he goes on in verse 26. He says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many influential, not many were of noble birth. But God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose lowly things in this world and the despised things and the things that are not to notify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him." Don't get me wrong, I have a high respect for education. But I like simple. I like simple. And that's what God wants. He wants to show us simple. See, the world thinks that noble people have to come from noble homes. You gotta talk about the royal family, or you gotta come out of this big entertainment world. Can I be honest with you this morning? I don't think I'm going to get an invitation to the White House Christmas party this year. I'm not sure, and you know, there's still time, but I don't think I'm gonna. I probably won't get any invites to any movie reviews or anything like that, but I want you to know something. The most important and noble man that has ever walked this earth came into this world to tell me that he loves me. Amen. And he loves you. And wants to be your Savior, wants to be your Redeemer, wants to be your comfort, wants to be your strength. And he comes to commoners. And he comes to social outcast. And I love it. Because this city boy that's made some mistakes, he says he loves me. And I believe it. And he gives social outcast second chance. See, we may not have gotten a message standing in the field like the shepherds. But he does give us the message. Yes. And he did send me this morning to let each and every one of you know that he cares what's going on in your lives. Word says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." You've heard that before, right? Whoever. That includes you and me. Whoever. goes on to say in John, it says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Isn't that good news? You may be rejected from the world in any kind of circumstance, but God says, whoever comes to me, I'll never drive them away. So let me close with this question to you. What did the shepherds do with the good news? They received it into their hearts. They investigated the truth of God. That's for all of us that just need to say, oh, I can't take it on just the word. I've got to do some investigating. So they took it into their hearts. They did some investigating. And then they went and spread the good news. And that to me sounds like the gospel in action. That sounds like what each and every one of us is supposed to do. I love what the shepherds say. Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened. Let's go investigate it ourselves. Let's go check this out. Let's go see where the word says, taste and see that I'm good. Let's check this out yourself. I tell you, and I said this last week and I mean it, some of us struggle because God's saying, you haven't learned the lesson yet, and you will never leave this spot and move forward until you get this lesson right. And God's saying, taste and see if I'm not good. Give me an opportunity, and I'm going to show you. I don't need to prove I'm God, but I will show you that I care what's going on in your life. Last week, Becky and I were in a store, and we were walking around, and everyone knows how much I love shopping. But we were walking around, and up ahead of us, there was a young man that was mentally challenged, and he was greeting people, and we watched as people turned away from him. He would say something, they turned away from him. They pretended that they didn't see him. And here comes Becky and I around the corner. I look as I was a little bit behind Becky, and he says, hello! Asked Becky her name, and then he announced that his name was David. And I come around the corner, and he gave me the same, hello! What's your name? And I said, Tony, and I said, it's good to meet you. And he says, Merry Christmas to you, and have a good night. People have no time for each other right now. People have no time for inconvenience. See, by the world standard, that young man was mentally challenged. But I want you to know something. That guy had more God than most people that I know. Because in his limited resources, he was reaching out to people. He was extending himself. He was making himself vulnerable because people were turning away from him in his grief. And people respond the same way to Jesus. They have no time for him. They don't want to be inconvenienced. And they pretend that they didn't hear this. And they pretend that they don't have time for some of the things going on. But I want you to know something, really. And I said this many times, that all of us are in a different point of journey in our lives. And that's okay. As long as we're moving forward. Moving towards God. So let the words of the shepherd, let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that's happening. Embrace God like the shepherds did. Embrace the calling that God has for us this Christmas. And let me close by saying, embrace the things that matter. Do you hear me this morning? Embrace the things that matter.